Good morning, everyone at Web and Travel and ITB. I'm so sorry I could not be there in person. Unfortunately, I hurt my back on a recent flight and have been grounded on doctor's orders. This means I've been hit with about two bouts of pain. There is the pain itself in my back, but there's also the intellectual pain of missing out of the conference and the fun pain of being there with you. I hope this video and this little presentation can add to the conversations going on at Web and Travel. The aim of this presentation is I want to give you my views of the future of web travel. I want to look at the areas of discovery and recommendation and the role they're going to play in the future of online travel. But before I look forward, I'm going to look backwards on the web. I'm going to start my presentation with a very simple and plain looking slide. I'm sure you all recognize it. This is Chris Anderson's 2004 Long Tail Theory in action. A theory sort of based on the Pareto Principle that says that 20% of your product or customers are responsible for 80% of your demand, saying that this theory does not hold true in the web world. It's about how the removal of the constraint of needing to support physical inventory and a location, i.e. moving from having stores and physical sites to bits and websites, has expanded marketing and sales opportunities beyond items that have achieved mass popularity to those that are niche and obscure. Anderson says this will result in demand shifting from the head, mass popularity, to the tail, or niche products. The new internet law stated that one day the 80-20 would be flipped because there's no physical restraint in holding inventory. For an online travel company, this meant contracting more and more niche product, more and more niche fare combinations to capture the expanding demand of consumers. That we can find markets for all the obscure destinations and hotels that have previously been hidden behind the promotion of the top or most popular destinations. The long tail is without a doubt internet law, L-A-W, and law, L-O-R-E. Challenging it is like challenging other supposedly cast in stone mantra, like the customer is always right, and like Singapore chili is really good. I mean, really, really good. But challenging it I am. The long tail is based on matching the unconstrained supply of the internet to niche demand. What is missing is that the niche demand in long tail theory is constrained, and it's constrained because it depends on knowledge. That is, someone can only demand a niche product if they know what it is and believe that they will like it or could like it. For unconstrained niche demand, you need to have some sort of systematic or automated means of making trusted and targeted recommendations to somebody. Consumers need a way to sort through the tail to find the thing they are looking for, whether or not they knew they were looking for it. Let's take an example. This slide here shows Google's monthly search volumes for hotels in Singapore. Not surprisingly, at the top of this search, and the biggest term, is this term itself, hotels in Singapore. But taking a more broad match, you can see there are some tail and niche terms and phrases like hotels in Little India, Singapore. Classic Anderson long tail stuff. And let's have a look at the results that a consumer will be seeing when they had a look at a search term, hotels in Little India, Singapore. You can see here that the hotels in the green box are a series of hotels available for that search. If you as a customer did not know anything about these hotels, then this is where the long tail theory fails. Sure, the web opens up the opportunity to search for this, but where is the discovery? Where is the recommendation? And particularly, where is the recommendation for the multiple me's that are searching for this term? By the multiple means, I mean the different versions of each traveller. For example, when I travel as a business traveller, I tend to be looking for one night, a shower and Wi-Fi. When I'm travelling as a family man, I tend to look for a couple of nights, swimming pool, free breakfast, maybe three or four people in a room. As a solo leisure traveller, I'm looking for a bargain in the entertainment or historic area parts of town. Now, which of these hotels in the search results that suits me will depend on which version of me is doing the searching. The long tail theory does not help on any of this, as it assumes I know what I'm looking for, that it's just more easily available for me. I've been watching what retail sites like the OTAs and what search sites like Metasearch and what content sites like review sites have been doing to try and get into the discovery, personalization and inspiration space to recommend results to the multiple means, to in effect make this niche demand unconstrained. I've been reading up on different theories of data collection, individual identity, and group dynamics. Now, I'm about to sound a little bit like a cardigan-wearing public television watching Chardonnay swiller, but trust me, there are some important and interesting themes that will come out in the next slide in this analysis. There's a concept from psychology, also economics and demographics, called individuation. I'll dodge the definitions that have been given up by Carl Jung and Nietzsche, because I don't think we need to really mention those in a travel conference. And I'll give you the short one. It is the process in which individuals become differentiated from each other. Individuation, the process in which individuals become differentiated from each other. And we're seeing these theories of individuation coming into mobile and social media space and travel. And I predict we'll see more of these come across in ways of capturing consumer attention. I put up two quotes for you on this slide to give you examples of individuation. The individuation N equals one article is a fantastic read in this area. Let's read out the definition. A continuing increase in computational power and associated memory storage capacities will lead to circumstances in which each and every single individual can be coded as and treated as a separate individual, and therefore not necessarily as a representative part of any group, sample, or population. In other words, technology will be such, and consumer pressure will be such, that we don't need to talk about groups, we don't need to talk about demographics, we can talk about individuals. And you can see Eric Schmidt is right behind this. When he was asked by TechCrunch last month as to what he saw the future of search, and he said, the long-term goal is to be able to give you one answer, which is exactly the right answer. In the past, we've undertaken consumer planning through analysis of average behavior of a group. Individuation in this context says that once we have the right matching of technology and social trends, we can move from tracking the average generic profiles or demographic groups at scale to analysis of what Hancock et al. Call specific instances of momentary behavior of one single individual. This already exists in psychology, neuroscience, molecular genetics, with a combination of data, technology, and social preparedness allows those sciences to be able to track and understand for the first time how specific individuals perform their own personal and very complex acts of cognition rather than rely on averages, i.e. targeting the individual for what they are, not as part of a group. In travel, we can use these same techniques to classify and recommend at a level of what I call every you, the multiple versions of you, rather than everyone. The reason I'm attracted to this concept has arisen through the technological capabilities we now have and the community slash social environment we're now in. Let me explain how this happened and why you should care. In the early days of online travel, we reveled in the data we could collect from customers. But really, there was only two dimensions to that data, breadth and depth. By breadth, I mean we're able to use and collect data on more than one person interacting with the site, sometimes other sites. By the depth, I mean we're able to track the different things the consumer did on our site. What did this allow us to do? It allows us to manage our sort order. Everybody in the web world does it. We used to bias our displays on consumer behavior to help generate what we think is the best result for a basket of consumers. And you can see here an example from my day job at Hotel Club. In the last few years, we've headed on into Web 2.0 part of our development of these products, and we're able to get a third dimension on this data. And that third dimension is context. The ability to see the interrelationship between the data we have on one person and data we have on others. Through our actions and those of the consumer and other consumers, we can link previously unrelated bits of data based on the relationship between people and their past behavior rather than just one-off activities. So what have we done with this? We built CRM systems. We built complex ways in which of creating demographics and targeting, and we use that primarily in things like newsletter marketing. And here are some examples of the things that we do at Hotel Club. We use newsletter marketing to create data of consumer behavior, the behavior of other consumers, and deliver targeted deals, targeted content, targeted interaction and social networking. But they're customized by bell curves, averages, demographic analysis. It's not truly one-on-one behavior. It's not individuated. The common theme from the first three dimensions is we collected the data from consumers without their knowledge. Sounds a bit sinister, but it's not meant to be, because we asked for consent. But it's things that consumers gave us just by clicking and making their transactions. The fourth dimension of data is community. That is data freely given to us by the consumer, not one that we just took from them, one they gave to us. often unrelated to a particular purchase, and not necessarily for a tangible gain, though it is there very often for an intangible gain. What are some examples? Writing reviews, forwarding links to friends, making recommendations to strangers, building online profiles, contributing to forums, writing a blog, you know what I mean. The combinations of these four dimensions of data can result in individuated experiences, an experience in online media, retail or community that is unique to an individual, yet also part of a group experience. Let me give you some examples outside of travel. First of all, outside of travel, the best example is one of my favourite sites, Last.fm. At the heart, this is a music site that recommends music to you. What is brilliant about it is how it recommends. It looks at the music you listen to by checking through your iTunes playlist. Then it goes out to the network of other Last.fm listeners to find people that listen to music that you listen to and then play to you music that the people who like the music you like. In other words, it constructs a singular radio station, individuated media, based on looking at the music you like to listen to and looking to music that people who like similar music, individuated media. Another example of that, or a business that's getting close to that, is Twitter. This is my Twitter feed on a particular day at a particular moment in time. It is unique, singular, only one like it. Doesn't mean it's the best, doesn't mean it's the most informative, but it's different to every other single Twitter feed out there. My combination of followers and following, the things that I like, the things that I favorite, is different to everybody else. It's a unique piece of individuated media. There are 200 million individuated Facebook streams, 10 million newsreader pages, 10 million Twitter streams, 10 million Flickr streams, all different, all unique. And this has become, it's not just a technological change we're talking about, it's a social change. It's something we can graph in relation to both technology and social movements. Technology, if you like, is the supply, and social change is the demand. Collecting four dimensions of data is not easy. It required a technology leap in bandwidth and computational processing power, a leap we've now made, with effectively unconstrained technology behind us. Technology needed to allow us to capture and process the data is now matched, though, with the desire of internet users to seek answers to open-ended questions and to contribute into the community process. Give up data for free. What does this mean for us as marketers? In the past, we geared our marketing to everyone. Sure, we developed demographic cuts, we installed CRM systems to improve targeting, but we still marketed it to everyone in the hope of catching the individual. Now, with the matching up of technology and social desire, we can market to the every you. The four dimensions of data and technology allow us to do away with 30 years of econometric dependence on distribution, central tendency, and variation. Bell curves. We can throw out bell curves. And instead, we can envisage the ability to research an individual at scale rather than relying on measuring their responses as part of a group or sample. Instead of seeing individual behavior as a variance or an outlier, instead of seeing the edge of the curve as an error, we can aim to target every combination of an individual. Instead of marketing to everyone, we can market to every you. The social trend here is counterintuitive. The world's population has grown from 1.5 billion to 6 billion in the last 100 years, yet our ability to focus on the individual has increased rather than decreased. It's been facilitated by technology and social change. Bringing all this together is my concept of every you. I've been working on this for a while to try and find a way to bring technology and social change together to produce a recommendation process. And here is the definition I've come up with. The development of a specific and targeted recommendation of one based on the unique combination of desires, needs, and interests of each individual critically at any moment in time. Every you, the future of travel search results. This has been made possible by three developments: social trends that favour online interaction, technology innovation that provides organisations with four dimensions of data, and scalability. In the travel industry, every you means we can answer the question, where do I go next? Where should I go next? Where is the best place to go? With a specific answer. And we can answer that question based on the different versions of each person who is asking for it. Companies can treat users as co-researchers in developing the bespoke solutions for individual requirements. The user's needs are met by co-joining the company's expertise in travel and the user's experience, expertise in themselves, creating a tailored solution for one. People will share with us their contradictions, the different things they like that don't make any sense and the demographics don't understand. We'll kill off the fallacy of general interest travel, break down the long tail, and be able to give recommendations of one, specific, unique, and targeted. Lots more of this coming up soon on my blog, The Business of Online Travel. Before I go, let me finish with a quick word from my sponsor. As well as being a blogger, I am the Vice President of Commercial for Hotel Club, which is a division of Orbitz Worldwide, one of the world's largest online travel companies, selling in excess of $10 billion worth of travel. In Asia, we operate primarily through hotelclub.com and rates2go.com, where you can book hotels in 15 languages and 19 currencies to a membership database of more than 6 million. I also blog very regularly on the Business of Online Travel blog, www.thebusinessofonlinetravel.com. Here are some recent stories up for you to see. I've just passed about 830 posts. I've clocked more than 120,000 visitors to this site and just passed my 200,000 page view. Thank you very much. I'm so sorry I couldn't have a chance to be with you. Look forward to hearing more about the conference and enjoy the tough love. Thanks to Timmy O'Neill Dunn for stepping in, and thanks to Sue Hoon for letting me do this. All the best.